Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're pressing on in 2 Samuel. We're up to the 7th chapter now, looking at the life of David. That's sort of the big picture. And, we initially started this. We are actually doing a Bible study online on Monday evenings currently in the book of Psalms. And I think we may actually go all the way through Psalms. I'm not exactly sure how this is going to work out. But anyway, I thought it'd be good to look at the life of David. David wrote a large portion of the Psalms, not all of them, but a large portion of them. Well, we've gotten into David, and boy, there's so much more here than you might anticipate, right? We have just left off in the previous chapter with seeing how Michal, one of David's wives, was barren all of her days. Why was she barren all of her days? I think it's because she belittled and made fun of David worshiping before the Lord. And you say, well, how can you reach that conclusion? Well, it ended that chapter, and God put them together, and the inference is more than strong there, okay? And there's a word of warning there for us, folks. Do not belittle people who are worshiping the Lord, okay? We may not understand. They may be worshiping in a style that we would not, or in a way that we wouldn't. It may be with music we don't understand. It may be in a particular type of liturgical thing that we don't understand. If they are true believers, and if they're truly worshiping the Lord, then, boy, you better not belittle them. You better not make fun of them. And you know what? We're not the judge. I mean, I'm not the judge to sit there and say, well, they're not a real believer, I don't think, because of the way they're worshiping. You better be real careful about that, because who's made you God to start with, right? You know, we gotta walk in some humility here before the Lord and seek Him. And now that has something to do, I think, with this 7th chapter. I was really hoping that when I was reading through this, I thought, well, maybe I can read a big part of this to set the context, because I want you to see what's going on. But there's so much here that I can't even do that. So we're just going to dive into it and read a portion of it. And it'll take us a few episodes to get through the whole thing, because this is very significant, folks. Very, very significant. Verse 1, 2 Samuel chapter 7 says this. Now, it came about. Don't you love that? Let me just stop there. Now, it's nearly like a fictitious fairy tale kind of story. Now, it came about. A lot of times people read it in that way. Don't read it in that way. The writer is just picking up a narrative at some point in time. He lets us know exactly when it is, though not the exact date, the exact year, but he lets us know the context. Listen to this. Now, it came about when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest on every side from all of his enemies, that the king said to Nathan the prophet. So let me stop there in the middle of the second verse, in the middle of a sentence. So what's the context? The context is the king is living in his own house. Remember how Hiram had sent all the stone and the wood, and this was a fellow king that lived up north, and the stonemasons and the woodworkers to come and build a house for David. Now, David is in his house. So it came about, so there's a period of time that's going along. He's in this house. Another period of time, the Lord had given David rest on every side from all of his enemies. And you know what? That's sort of a significant thing, is it not? Because in this entire account that we've been reading about David, he has had very little rest away from enemies. Even when he was anointed as a shepherd boy, pretty soon he's facing down Goliath, right? So the Lord has now given him rest on every side, not just rest of the north and the south, but rest on every side. So here he is. He's living in his house. There's rest on every side, which means there's peace. Well, now the king says to Nathan, the prophet, he's got a prophet with him, Nathan. And this is what David says to him. See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within tent curtains. So David is looking at his house and just the wonder and the beauty and the glory of it. And he loves his house. Nothing wrong with that house. It's great. House of cedar. No moths in this house, right? A house of cedar. But he's thinking about how the ark of God dwells within tent curtains. And remember, it's a tent that David had pitched for it. It wasn't the Mosaic tabernacle. And you say, well, did that even exist? It did, folks. It did. You have to look at the totality of the word and start seeing where this is and to put it all together. But even as David, and we're about to see it, maybe today, but probably tomorrow, even as David is going in before the Lord, before the Ark of the Covenant, even when he's doing that, they are worshiping in the Mosaic Tabernacle without the Ark of the Covenant. They're doing Levitical worship as God had told them to do, though without the Ark. Gosh, and I've mentioned this several times here through the years in our podcast here, but I think it bears repeating and thinking about that here they are worshiping God, as God said, without the presence of God. They're going through the religious exercises without the presence of God. And here David is worshiping with the presence of God, but not in the way that God had told him to do it. How was David able to pull that off? I think God allowed him to. I think David asked to, and God said, go right ahead. But now David's thinking about it, that the ark is dwelling within these tents. Listen what Nathan says in verse 3. Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in your mind, for the Lord is with you. So that gives us some insight to what's going on. David is thinking about how he's got this big fancy house right here, but that God dwells within tent curtains. And he's thinking, man, does God need a better place to dwell in? Does he need a nicer place? So he passes it by Nathan. He says, hey, you know, I live in this house right here, but God dwells in the tent of curtains. Well, Nathan picked up what the king was sending out, and he says, hey, go, do all this in your mind, for the Lord is with you. So Nathan has given the king confirmation, affirmation, to go ahead and do whatever's in his mind in relationship to that thought right there. Verse 4. Do you dare guess what the next word is? Yeah, we've been together a long time. You know what the next word is. But in the same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, now let me tell you what's going to happen. This is the end of verse 4. The rest of this chapter is God saying something to Nathan as a word for King David. Nathan's going to wind up taking it back to David. And then David is going to go in before the Lord. I mean, it literally says that he goes before the Lord. Well, where would he have gone before the Lord? He would have gone to the tent that he pitched for the Lord, and he would have gone into the Ark of the Covenant that had the very presence of God over it. And God was over that ark, not in the ark, over the ark. Nowadays, God is in the ark. Who's the ark? Those who are true believers. But the rest of the chapter is a conversation that God has with Nathan to go tell David this. And then David responds and goes before the Lord. Here's what Nathan finds out. He finds out that he was, well, can I say wrong? Maybe. I think Nathan was just saying, hey, king, go do what's on your mind. The Lord's with you. The Lord has been with you. He's giving you peace. The Lord's with you. So whatever you're thinking must be of the Lord. So go. But that night, let me just start some of this. Verse 5, this is God speaking this through to Nathan right now, and it will go to David. Go and say to my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one who should build me a house to dwell in? And this is in the form of a question, and it's said exactly like I just voiced it there. At that point, Nathan would have gone, oh my. At this point, David would have gone along. God's saying, really? Are you big enough to build me a house? Really? You're going to try to put me into some kind of physical edifice? Well, don't you know the second they heard that question, they're thinking, oh, where's this going? We'll find out. I'll see you on the next episode. Goodbye.